Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. Thank you for joining us today. If you are a brand new listener, we welcome you. This is primarily a Christian broadcast, of course, to Christians, for Christians, but it's not just for Christians. It is to share the good news of Jesus with anyone who finds us here on this website and finds the salvation plan that God has for your life. He wants to save you today if you're not a Christian, and we want you to be our special guest today to hear about His great salvation as we learn as Christians and grow into a knowledge of how to worship God acceptably and find out what is acceptable worship and unacceptable. We think we've got this down to a science, and we've got it down to where we know exactly what we're going to do on Sunday and how to do it, and how to do it in a timely fashion, and how to do it in an entertaining way, and hopefully engaging people in the congregation to sing with us. But we want to dig a little deeper today. Amen. So you stay tuned as we learn how to really express the value of God, the value of Christ, the value of salvation, the worth-ship of God, and the worth-ship of Jesus Christ. That word is the basic word for what we know as worship today. So we're going to talk about true biblical praise and worship. Now, there's all kinds of expressions, and people like this kind or that kind. We just want to find out what God loves and what God receives and what is acceptable unto Him and what is unacceptable unto Him. Why don't I begin by making a statement? Regardless if you're saved or not, you are born into this world with an intrinsic need and desire that will be fulfilled as you worship someone or something. Everybody on planet Earth is a worshiper. You may be worshiping Satan. You may be worshiping sports. You may be worshiping money. You may be worshiping and idolizing the Hollywood stars and starlets or the music industry stars. But everyone without exception is going to worship someone or something. You may be worshiping yourself through narcissism and making yourself an idol. But one thing is for sure, everyone is worshiping something. Everyone is bowing to someone. Oh, I don't bow to no one. I can almost hear it reverberating. I don't bow to no man. I don't bow to no God. I'm my own man. I'm my own God. Well, that's fine as long as you can get by with it, but it's an absolute lie and deception. We are worshipers, born to worship into this world, but we're born to worship the true and the living God, to come to Him and have our sins forgiven, and then to worship Him and no other. The devil wants to take this intrinsic need to worship, desire to worship, designed to worship, and subvert it unto the things of this world, and through that to himself. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted the worship and praise that was being offered to God. He wanted that. He still wants that. And there's a parallel to what his desire is revealed in the Old Covenant in the book of Revelation, when he tries to mimic everything that God is and everything that God is doing. Listen very carefully today. The devil wants your worship, and you don't have to be a devil worshiper in order for him to get your worship. All you have to do is worship someone or something else, some idol, something, some addiction, something that you bow to. I like Bob Dylan's song that says, when he had this brush with the Christian faith, when he said in his song, you gotta serve somebody, because that's part and parcel of true worship, is who or what that we bow to and serve. Amen. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Everybody is serving somebody, even if you're serving yourself. You're serving somebody. And through that kind of highest level of idolatry, you are taking that is exclusively for our Creator and Savior, and you're turning it. You're allowing the devil to get you to turn it to someone or something else. That's why this is an important message for Christians as well. True spiritual praise and worship. To worship God in spirit and truth, as He tells us that it's imperative that we worship Him that way. Amen. That acceptable kind of worship, it means that our worship should be in honesty and integrity. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. It means that our worship should be spiritual, full of passion, and engaging the whole person. Our worship should be, the way we worship Him should represent the way we love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, strength, with everything we are and with everything we have. And it should be recognized as supernatural in nature. Not just going through the routine, not just going through the religious ritual of it, but it's something that comes from our heart, and it's offered in sincerity and truth unto God. That's why we're seeking true biblical praise and worship that is acceptable unto God. This is the highest calling of every believer. In fact, Christians are compared with Old Testament priests. In the Old Testament, priests offered sacrifices to God. According to the New Testament, we are all priests and kings. Hallelujah. We are all priests who offer sacrifices as well. In the Old Testament, the priest would offer animals as a burnt offering and etc. And then the New Testament priest, we offer a different kind of sacrifice. But a sacrifice nonetheless. We used to sing that as a praise song. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. That's a biblical statement. In 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5 we read, and coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by men but choice and precious in the sight of God, that means Christ, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A few verses later, in verse 9, we read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, virtues in the King James, of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here we're told that we're a royal priesthood, that our job is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Hebrews 13:15 says it this way. Through Him, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. The spiritual sacrifices that we're able to offer are sacrifices of praise. I feel like singing it. We bring, I won't. don't leave and don't turn it down. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. And we offer up to you this sacrifice of praise, this worship, this expression of our heart through the calves of our lips, if you please. Amen. Something that we're doing as part of our morning service or church service. Something that we're doing that humans are capable of doing. What we're doing is transformed into spiritual sacrifices, a sweet-smelling savor to God, something that God loves to receive from us. He inhabits, as the Old Testament puts it, the praises of his people. He seeks such to worship him. It is a blessing to him when we worship in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is this praise? The fruit of our lips. In other words, it's verbal and vocal praise that we offer. The passage in Hebrews corresponds to another passage in the Old Covenant in Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Listen. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. That worship, that gratitude expressed verbally, vocally in praise and worship. The calves of our lips. Sacrificial language is attributed to the true, earnest, honest praise and gratitude from his people. Hallelujah. And it's further evidence that praise is the sacrifice we offer to God as New Testament priests. Therefore, this is a very high calling, isn't it? It's more than just a song leader leading people on Sunday morning. Actually, the song leader needs to be an example of worshiping in spirit and in truth, not just leading the music service. Entering into true praise and worship's not an option for any of us. It's a command of God. It's an imperative that we come to understand and practice true biblical praise and worship, and that's what we're talking about here today. Let's talk about some unacceptable worship. If you're not a Christian today, you're worshiping someone, you're worshiping something. It may take you a while to come to that conclusion, but if you really stop and get honest before God and think about it, whatever you're giving your time, your talent, your energy, whatever you are so obsessed by, you know, they call you a fan if you're fanatical about the sport or whatever it is that you are interested in. They call you a fan of a singing group, or a fan like of the Beatles when that Beatlemania was here. There were fans, and they were fanatical in their obsession with people. Listen, fans are fanatic. They're worshiping. They're worshiping that is consuming their heart, their focus, their energies. It's all about worshiping. It's not, are we worshipers? We all are. Number one, are we true worshipers as Christians? And number two, are we worshiping the wrong gods, the gods of this world who are no gods, not instead of the God who made man, worshiping man-made gods? and through that, ultimately worshiping the little g god of this world, the devil himself. Listen, people say, what about all the people who worship their own god because they don't know any better? Surely God will accept them if they're sincere in their worship, won't he? No. It is unacceptable to God for anyone to worship a non-God because he is the living and true God. He won't tolerate the worship of false gods. It's clear in Scripture to worship false gods, and the world worships them. Look at Romans 1 in verse 21. We read, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, frankly, that just means they wouldn't worship him or give him glory, praise, thanks, homage, or adoration. They refused to worship God. So he gave them up to uncleanness, according to verse 24, unto vile affections, and ultimately to their judgment. And in fact, when they refused to worship God, they began to make images like unto corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. In other words, again, they turn to idols. Everyone worships, you see. So when men reject God, they don't stop worshiping. They don't withhold worship. They worship false gods, gods of their own creation. And these false gods fall into two categories. I want to deal with them while we have time. Number one is earthly, material gods. An example of an earthly or material god is like wealth, fortune, and fame. It's illustrated in Job 31, 24 through 28. Listen, he says, if I've made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. You see where worship can be subverted to what wealth can give us, not the money itself. You know, it didn't say money is evil. It said the love or lust for money is the root of all evil. It's all about this self-indulgence, literally worshiping that we indulge in. Listen, let me read it again. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath seen secretly, or hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also was an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God who is above. In other words, if I worship what I possess, if I worship my little world, if I go around kissing my own hand, I've denied God. But men do that, and they worship the gods of this material world. And we're seeing this materialistic message not just creep its way anymore. It started creeping into the church. Now it is in the church world and in the Christian community. And the message of wealth, serving God for the wealth of the world and envying the wealthy of the world. I'm not saying God won't bless your giving. I'm not saying he won't bless you abundantly. But when we seek to be as rich and opulent as the Wall Street mogul, as the Hollywood crowd or the sports stars, something is wrong with our perspective. Amen. Listen, it's important that we lay up our treasure above, where the thief can't steal and the moth can't corrupt. For where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. Listen, I want my heart set on things above and not the things of this earth. All of this is going to pass away, including you and me. Ah, But what we have in store for us in heaven is eternal. Praise God. Amen. Not only the gods of materialism, but heavenly supernatural gods. Listen to Deuteronomy 4:14 through 19. Gives us an illustration as the children of Israel were preparing to enter the promised land. Moses gave them this warning, and I quote, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances, that you might do them in the land which you go over to possess. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourself, for you saw no manner of similitude," and then this is in effect a form or representation or an image, "on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourself and make you a carved image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Lest thou lift up thine eyes to heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them." God is never to be reduced to an image. Listen, never, ever, ever. Now, if you think God is an old man with a beard sitting in a big chair, that's a terrible misconception of the true and living, holy God that we serve. Someone once said that idolatry doesn't begin with a hammer. It begins in the mind. When someone conceives of God in an improper way, he will ultimately cause God to be made in an improper image. The idolater who takes his hammer and chisel and forms a god out of wood forms a god that is in his mind to begin with. The pattern starts in the mind before it's brought out into some physical idol that we see and touch. We should never have a visual conception of God whatsoever, because He is never to be reduced to an image. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the first kind of unacceptable worship is the worship of false gods. And throughout the Old Testament, this is condemned, and not rightfully so. Let's look at Isaiah 2:6-10 in closing. Here's Isaiah's commentary on what was happening among his people. "Thou therefore hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they please themselves in the children of foreigners." In other words, they've allowed the foreigners and their foreign children, and their foreign gods, rather, to invade their thinking and their worship. "Their land is full of silver and gold. Their land is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither there any end of their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made." And that meaning, literally, common. "Man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty." You see, God's people became idolatrous in their prosperity, in the blessing He had blessed them with. And they even worshiped the sun. Ezekiel 8:16 says, "The pagans worship anything they could think of." And the same thing is true today. Every religion that doesn't rightly discern God worships a false god. Every materialist and every irreligious atheist and every agnostic who wouldn't even darken the door of religious worship worships some material god of his own invention, even if it's himself. It's all something that God absolutely disdains, and it will ultimately destroy our life and threatens to destroy our very soul unless we acknowledge the true and living God and we come to His Son to accept Him as our Savior and our sacrifice for the sins that we have committed against the true and the living God. Today, God is calling His church to become true worshipers. He's calling us to understand, according to the Scriptures, what is true biblical praise and worship, to operate in that holy spiritual priesthood that we have as children of God, as sons and daughters of God today. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a worshiper, but you're not worshiping the God who created you. You're worshiping that He has created. You may be worshiping His creation without worshiping the Creator. And God wants you to know Him. And God wants to save your soul. And God wants you to have your sins forgiven, because He has given His only begotten Son, His only Son, as a substitute to die in our place on the cross, so that we could be forgiven and we could be reconciled unto God, instead of worshiping man-made gods, that we might worship the God who made man. And today I pray, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, that you will come to Him, that you will worshipfully bow before Him, that you will confess your sins, repent of them, and receive His forgiveness and God's full pardon, be reconciled unto God, and then worship the Lord, not just with your words, but with a life that is surrendered to Him, offering your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And Christian, be no more conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to go through religious routines and rituals. I want to have an encounter with God when I worship Him. I want to know that He is pleased when I lift my heart, my voice, my hands with thanksgiving, a heart full of gratitude, and I praise and honor Him, and become a spiritual sacrifice unto Him. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, it's time that the worshipers rise up, worship in spirit and in truth, and once again enjoy the presence of God, where there's fullness of joy and pleasure at His right hand, for He inhabits the praises of His people. In Jesus' name.